The ghost ship was not easy to sink. That was the experience for the crew of the Coast Guard cutter Anacapa. They had practiced with their deck gun, but never used it to actually scuttle a ship. The Petersburg-based cutter gained worldwide notoriety last week when she was ordered to sink the derelict Japanese fishing boat off the coast of southeast Alaska. Back in Petersburg, several of the Anacapa's crew gave a first-hand account to Matt Lichtenstein, who filed this report.
The Ryun Maru was about 160 miles off the coast when the Anacapa reached her. The cutter's crew spent the night making last-minute preparations and getting final approval to go ahead and start firing the next morning. That work included checking the derelict vessel for any radiation it may have picked up from the nuclear disasters in Japan. Executive Officer Jim Toomey says the cutter has an array of equipment for that.
Once we'd arrived on scene and began our study of the vessel, its seaworthiness, and any potential hazards that may on board, we actually use some of that radiation detection equipment, doing several passes anywhere from 30 yards to 300 yards off the vessel, and conducted basically a spectral analysis of any radioactive emissions from the vessel, and we didn't pick up any elevated levels.
Some initial reports put the vessel at around 160 feet long, but Toomey says they found it was closer in length to their 110-foot cutter. The Coast Guard didn't send any crew aboard the drifting boat, but another vessel did. Shortly before they began clearing the area for firing, a Canadian fishing boat arrived on scene to claim salvage rights. Anacapa Commanding Officer Ruben Boudreaux says U.S. and Canadian Coast Guard officials had a conference call and subsequently agreed to let the would-be salvagers inspect the Japanese ship.
And they were actually able to put personnel on board as we were observing this and determined that it was truly a derelict, probably not seaworthy enough to tow back all the way to Canada, which was their plan. They reported that there were just the entire vessel was in shambles and could have sunk at any moment.
But even after being hit by the Japanese tsunami and drifting thousands of miles across the ocean, the unmanned fishing boat turned out to be tougher than she looked. Once the Canadian vessel cleared the scene, the Anacapa prepared to move forward with its task. Boudreaux says they first put out repeated notices to vessels and aircraft, requiring them to stay at least 6 nautical miles away from their location. They commenced firing at about 1 in the afternoon that day. Having never done this sort of thing before, Boudreaux says it was a huge learning experience.
Just trying to develop the best plan possible to sink the vessel, not knowing how long it would take or how many shots it would take below the waterline. She was a very seaworthy craft, obviously coming thousands of miles from west to east across the Pacific, and she didn't want to go down easy, that's for sure.
They started by firing 220 high-explosive rounds from their 25-millimeter deck gun. The cutter had to stay at least 300 yards away from the target vessel for those rounds to fully arm themselves and cause the most damage. At the same time, according to Boudreaux, even the relatively calm seas caused enough movement to make it challenging for the Anacapa to hit the other boat below the waterline. After the high-explosive rounds didn't seem to do the trick, Boudreaux says they eventually fired off another 220 rounds of regular non-explosive ammunition. According to Boudreaux, that allowed them to get closer and make shots that were somewhat less destructive, but more accurate. Petty Officer 2nd Class Brandon Thomas fired 55 of those shots.
It's actually incredibly complicated because you got a vessel with a waterline that keeps changing because the swells keep moving it up and down, and our vessel's moving in relation to it. So the mount moves pretty freely, and you kind of try and track on there.
The Ryun Maru eventually sank at 6:15 p.m. Operations Petty Officer Rob Owens was on watch at the time.
It started sinking stern and starboard quarter, and then once that stern caught up to it all throughout, it just it almost kind of swung underneath the bow, and it was bow up, and then and just sank, you know, just stern first.
The decision to sink the boat had come from much higher up in the Coast Guard, which saw the unlit, unmanned vessel as a serious danger to navigation in busy shipping lanes. But the Anacapa crew saw that firsthand. Owens says when they arrived, there were at least 3 large tankers in the area, one of which couldn't see the derelict ship on its radar and radioed for its location. Owens and the other crew were confident there was minimal fuel on the vessel, which had been destined for scrap in Japan. The morning following the sinking, a Coast Guard aircraft on scene reported there was a little bit of debris and a light sheen that the agency said would dissipate quickly at sea. Anacapa Commander Boudreaux says he's proud of his crew and he thinks their experience may help the Coast Coast Guard deal with future situations like this.
There's going to be some great lessons learned as a result of this, especially moving forward and thinking that there may be some more vessels along the way that are going to be drifting in our direction. They're estimating a million or 2 million tons potentially of debris that is going to be following that same path and hitting Hawaii, British Columbia, and Alaska in the next year or two.
The Ryun Maru sank in 6,000 feet of water. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.